Thank you for joining us today. This is Pat, and I am reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, August the 14th. From the front page, a great picture here of a group of seven people, block by block, the city's first block by block project to help residents improve the exterior of their homes began August the 8th at 106 Illini Drive. Mayor Helen Michelosi worked with a crew of volunteers to clear and remove brush from the home. Several other homes are on the list for similar assistance. Second story, zoning updates the land use on the solar project applications. Gordon Woods. County Zoning Administrator Elizabeth Weichel updated the County Board's land use on Monday about the Triple Black Diamond commercial solar project application. Weichel said the Triple Black Diamond solar developers plan to attend the August County Board meeting. She said the developers seek a letter from the county stipulating it won't enforce the county's old solar ordinance requiring the company to start its project within a year. At the time of their siting, we had an ordinance in place that said that within a year of receiving their siting, they had to start their construction. Since then, we have updated the ordinance because the state statute currently says we cannot put a restriction on them that is less than 5 years to start their project. She said the developers, financial backers, were concerned the county would attempt to enforce the old ordinance and not honor the current ordinance. Land use member and board chairman Joe Witt said under the current ordinance, Black Diamond developers could request an extension. Committee member Pat Ryan asked Weichel if she knew what was delaying the developer. She said she wasn't sure, but was under the impression that the financial backing was being delayed because of the question about the ordinance. Witt said if the board passed a resolution stating the project was approved before the change in the state's language that affected the county ordinance, it should serve as the letter the company requested. I think that's the way to take it forward. Take it to the board and let them decide, right? Witt asked. Weichel said the developers asked to be scheduled on the agenda for the August County Board meeting. In other business, the solid waste plan. The committee also discussed the need to update the county's solid waste disposal plan. The county learned recently its plan, which the state requires be updated every 5 years, hadn't been updated in about 20 years. Weichel received a copy of Douglas County's updated solid waste plan as a reference. Douglas County was originally in the group of counties, including DeWitt, that updated their plan in 2006. Weichel said she had all of the county's 5 years updated plan through 2006. She said Douglas County had its health department rewrite its solid waste plan through a subcommittee. In other business, in July, the county zoning office issued 9 permits, which included 1 new residence, according to Weichel. She reported the Regional Planning Commission, RPC, met on July the 21st to review 2 special use permit applications, which they approved to advance to the Zoning Board of Appeals, ZBA. Weichel said the RPC also continued to work on the county's commercial solar battery storage ordinance. On August the 3rd, the ZBA met and approved 2 variances as well as voted to send the 2 special use permit applications to the full county board for approval. Blue Iris is nearing completion on its DeWitt County commercial solar energy facility. Prairie Flats and North Yard Solar Developers are currently working on their building permit applications, Weichel reported. Weichel said her office has also received inquiries about a proposed commercial solar project called Heritage. She said she had not received any applications for the project, so no hearings have been set. And also from the front page, Emily Baser awarded the Mary Rorschach Scholarship. Emily Baser of Clinton has been selected as the 2026 recipient of the Mary Rorschach Teaching Scholarship, an annual scholarship recognizing outstanding students from Central Illinois who are pursuing careers in education. Baser, a future biology teacher, was selected for her heartfelt essay describing the profound impact her mother, a high school biology teacher, has had on her life, her love of learning, and the decision to pursue education herself. Throughout her essay, Baser reflects on childhood memories that sparked her curiosity for science, from receiving a kid-sized microscope at 6 years old to spending time gardening alongside her mother and exploring biology through hands-on learning. Those experiences fostered not only a passion for science, but also an appreciation for the role great teachers play in helping students discover their interests. As a high school student, Baser had the opportunity to take her mother's dual credit environmental science course, in which labs, discussions, and real-world environmental issues strengthened her desire to teach biology. She said her mom not only made science exciting, but also demonstrated compassion, curiosity, and lifelong learning. "My mother is the whole reason I'm becoming a biology teacher myself," Baser wrote. "Between my schooling and my childhood, she has given me so many reasons to love teaching." The Mary Rorschach Teaching Scholarship was established to honor the lasting influence educators have on their students and communities by helping support the next generation of teachers. "Great teachers don't just teach lessons, they shape lives," said Josh Rorschach, founder and managing attorney. Emily's essay is a wonderful reminder that encouragement and passion of one educator can inspire the next generation. Baser joins a growing group of scholarship recipients dedicated to making a difference in classrooms across Illinois, continuing the tradition of inspiring, educating, and supporting future generations. There's a new Rotary president. Kim Messerell O'Donohue was recently named the new president of the Clinton Rotary Club. She is pictured here with a banner. In another Rotary story, the Coats for Kids program is continuing under Rotary. For many years, Beta Sigma Phi sorority provided hundreds of coats for local youth through their Coats for Kids program, working with Dove and Clinton Schools. While the sorority has disbanded, members didn't want to end the coat collection program. They contacted the Clinton Rotary Club to see if the club would be willing to continue the program. Beta Sigma Phi member Donna Hall visited Rotary recently to explain the Coats for Kids program, and Rotary members have decided to take over the program with Hall's help. Watch in October for Coats for Kids collections bins around town. Big C to greet CSA students. With help from Mrs. Martin, students entering Clinton Elementary School, CES, this month will be greeted by a giant Clinton Maroons letter C on the entrance sidewalk. There's a beautiful picture of that new C for the students. And now from the op-ed page, Observations, the On Point column by Richard Koritz. "Several news events caught my attention this past week, and they are worth a comment or two as we ponder their implications going down the road. WNBA. The WNBA is having a difficult time determining the status of trans athletes in what has traditionally been female sports. Indiana star Sophie Cunningham has taken some serious criticism for saying that she believes that biological males should not be in female-based sports. The WNBA is having a hard time defining what that W stands for in the WBNA. The league wants to be an all-inclusive in its definitions and thus appears to have no definition of what that W stands for. To that point, two former NBA players have now announced that they consider themselves female females for the defined purpose of entering the draft for WBNA players. One of these players is 6 feet 8 inches tall and weighs 250 pounds. While it appears that both males are doing this as a farce, it clearly demonstrates the absurdity of allowing males to compete in women's sports. Supreme Court Justice Jackson may have difficulty giving a definition of women in the legal opinions, but I assure you that first graders can lead you to the boys' and girls' restrooms without any hesitation. Flock cameras. Clinton now has flock cameras on the highways entering and leaving Clinton. This means that there is now a digital recording of your vehicle every time to enter or leave Clinton. The cameras record those license plate numbers. Now, in all fairness, many other towns are doing the same thing. Law enforcement argues that this is the best way to monitor traffic and to determine who has been driving when a crime has occurred. That is a legitimate reason for the cameras. The downside is that the cameras record everyone's comings and goings. Law enforcement clearly has said that they are not going to spy on the populace, if you will. Most of us will agree that the vast majority of police officers will use the data from the cameras for valid law enforcement purposes. The issue is, what about that rogue cop who is simply snooping around? The public needs to be aware that the highway is a public road with lowered expectation of privacy. The police need to be aware that there is a Fourth Amendment that prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures. These two concepts appear to be in conflict, and legislatures need to develop clear guidelines for the use of these cameras. Next item, City Council compensation. The news article from Clinton City Administrator Tony Harris was that the city can't afford to double the pay for council members. A 100% pay increase is a little stiff for most taxpayers to swallow. Headlines only tell part of the story, and one has to read the article to gain context. City Council members have not had a raise in 30 years. That factor tells us a different story. A doubled salary today would be similar to that salary of 30 years ago when one takes the cost of living into discussion. With a commissioned form of government, the city council members are much more engaged in the actual management of the city than in the aldermanic form of government. Considering the length of time since the last pay raise, there certainly appears to be merit in the proposed increase. Walker Tire. Over the weekend, the tire sensor alert came on in my Expedition. I added some air to my left rear tire and thought I heard some air coming out. I took the vehicle into Walker's for what I anticipated to be a $20 or $30 plug repair. The repair guy then tells me I really need to replace both rear tires, and I reluctantly agreed because I know there have been a lot of miles on those tires. 5 minutes later, owner Dave Maxwell tells me, "Dick, for safety purposes, you really need to replace the front tires also." I looked at Dave and can almost swear I saw a Cheshire Cat grin when I agreed. I cannot say the experience was a bait and switch or a loss leader experience, but I can say expecting to pay $20 and then paying hundreds was a depressing event for me. However, for Dave Maxwell, it was a great day. For the record, I have been buying my tires at Walker's for more than 30 years. I have always found the prices to be very fair and the service has always been great. I may give Dave a rough time, but I am and always plan to be a repeat customer. Richard Corix is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt State's attorney. And now, as a reminder, the Clinton Journal letter policy. The Clinton Journal accepts responsibly written letters covering topics of interest to our readers. Letters must be the original works of their senders. The Journal does not publish anonymous letters. Letters submitted for publication must include the name of the author, address, and telephone number. Addresses and telephone numbers will not be published. The editor and manager reserve the right to edit letters for length and or content, and to publish letters using any journal platform, such as print newspaper, website, or other electronic delivery method. Readers should keep in mind that letters published are the opinions of their authors and are not news reports and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this newspaper, its staff, or its advertisers. The journal does not certify information used in the letters, but will remove any passages it considers potentially libelous. Election letters. The journal will accept letters from private citizens endorsing candidates or ballot measures. Candidates must purchase political advertising. And in other news, getting SSI and working? What you need to know. When you receive Supplemental Security Income, SSI, and work, reporting your wages to Social Security accurately and on time is important to ensure you receive the payment you are eligible for. Reporting your wages to us helps ensure that your SSI payments are calculated correctly and prevents overpayments or underpayments. Understanding the process and requirements for reporting can help avoid potential payment issues. SSI payments are based on financial need, and any earned or unearned income can directly impact the monthly payment amounts. Recipients are required to report their wages by the 10th day of the month after they receive them. However, we encourage recipients to report wages by the 6th day of the following month. Any other changes, such as starting a new job, getting a pay raise, or leaving a job, must be reported within 10 days after the end of the month in which the change occurred. Not reporting these changes accurately and on time may result in penalties, including a reduction in payments. Following these reporting requirements helps ensure that your SSI payments are correct and uninterrupted. How to report your wages? Wages can be reported to us on your behalf through the Payroll Information Exchange. For more information, visit www.ssa.gov/ssai/spotlights/spot-pi-htm. Use your personal My Security account at SSA.gov, my account. Use the SSA mobile wage reporting app available as a free download from either Apple or Google Play stores. Use our toll-free telephone wage reporting system at 866-772-0953. Want a reminder from us to report your wages? Be sure to sign up for monthly SSI wage reporting email or tax reminders here. Want to have your wages reported to us for you? You may not have to report your wages every month if we receive them through the Payroll Information Exchange. To sign up for this, you can complete and submit the SSA-8240 form online, over the phone, or at the local Social Security office. You must continue to report your wages monthly using another reporting method until you receive a notice that we are receiving your wages through PI. Before using any of our automated wage reporting applications, or if you already use one and you change employers, you must contact us and provide your employer's information and their employer identification number, the EIN. You can get additional information about reporting your wages on our SSI wage reporting webpage at www.ssa.gov/ssi/reporting/wages. Smartphones Made Simple for Seniors by Jim Miller in the Savvy Senior column. Switching from a flip phone to a smartphone can be a big adjustment. What seems second nature to younger users can feel overwhelming to someone who's never used a touchscreen. Even though the screen is bigger, the text can still be tiny, the buttons hard to tap, and one accidental touch can open an app or change a setting. Even simple tasks like texting or taking a picture can suddenly feel frustrating. The good news is that smartphones can be surprisingly senior-friendly. Both iPhones and Android phones have built-in accessibility features that make them easier to see, hear, and navigate. The exact steps vary depending on the phone, but here are some of the most helpful settings to look for. Apple iPhone. If your mom has an Apple iPhone, start by opening the Settings app, then tap Display and Brightness. From there, she can make the text larger, turn on bold text, and use Display Zoom to make icons, buttons, and menus bigger. Even these small changes can make the phone much easier to use. Accessibility offers several helpful tools. VoiceOver reads whatever is on the screen aloud. Zoom enlarges the small text or photos, and Voice Control lets her open apps or dictate messages simply by speaking. For a simpler home screen, try Assistive Access. It creates a clean layout with large buttons and fewer apps, and you can lock it with a passcode so it won't accidentally switch back. For someone moving from a flip phone, this can make using the phone much less intimidating. Google Pixel. If your mom uses a Google Pixel, open Settings, then Display, and select Display Size and Text. She can make words, buttons, and icons larger and increase color contrast to make everything easier to see. Swipe gestures can be confusing for first-time smartphone users. Switching to the traditional three-button layout brings back simple on-screen buttons for home, back, and recent apps, making navigation much easier. In accessibility, TalkBack can read text aloud. Magnification zooms in on parts of the screen. Live Caption adds subtitles automatically. Sound Amplifier makes soft sounds louder, and Voice Access lets her control the phone by speaking. Samsung Galaxy. If she has a Samsung Galaxy phone, start by turning on Easy Mode. Open Settings, tap Display, and turn it on. This enlarges text and icons, simplifies the home screen, and adds a slight delay to reduce accidental taps. She can also adjust the font, size, screen zoom, and switch navigation from gestures to buttons. Accessibility settings improve contrast, offer captions and hearing aid connections, and let her operate the phone with voice commands. Extra tips. Clean up your mom's home screen by removing apps she doesn't use and placing her most used apps, such as phone messages and photos, on the first screen. Choose a simple wallpaper. Turn up the ringtone and alert volume. Add favorite contacts for one-touch calling and increase the screen timeout so the display stays on longer. Remember, the goal isn't to master every feature. Start with the basics, answering calls, sending texts, and taking photos, and give her plenty of time to practice. A little practice goes a long way. With a few simple adjustments, her smartphone can become a tool she actually enjoys using. Send your questions or comments to questions@savvysenior.org or to Savvy Senior, Post Office Box 5443, Norman, Oklahoma, 73070. In light of the weather we have been experiencing this summer, here is some weather history. From August the 18th of 1999, hail up to baseball size fell in Schuyler County, especially to the north and west of Rushville. Hundreds of cars were damaged by the hail. Numerous houses sustained roof damage and thousands of acres of corn and soybeans damaged. Crop damage was estimated around $4 million and property damage over $750,000. And also, August 18th of 2002, severe thunderstorms in central Illinois produced hail up to 3.75 inches in diameter northwest of Lincoln in San Jose, as well as a brief tornado touchdown 5 miles north of Mason City. Scattered wind damage from these storms occurred as far east as the Indiana border. 6 people were injured in Atwood by flying debris. The DeWitt, Macon, and Piatt County 4-H show was once again a successful showcase of youth achievement. Community members visited the fairgrounds to view exhibits in the livestock barns and general project buildings. The general projects and livestock show followed the completion of the 4-H shooting sports final shoots. The 4-H horse show, which had been postponed, was held the first weekend in August, bringing the 2026 county show season to a close. The following is a list of DeWitt County 4-H members who excelled in their project area. Animal Science, Champion Animal Science 1 exhibit, Carter Herring. Champion Animal Science 2, Lily Watterson. Champion Vet Science 2, exhibit, Lexi Merriam. State Fair Delegates for Animal Science 1, Carter Herring. State Fair Delegate for Animal Science 2, Lily Watterson. The State Fair Alternates for Animal Science 1, Anna Clarkson and Jacob Spinner. State Fair Alternates for Animal Science 2, Lexi Merriman, Lillian Elsie. State Fair Delegate for Vet Science, Bailey Walters. State Fair Delegate for Vet Science 2, Lexi Merriman. State Fair Alternates for Vet Science 1, Lillian Elsie and Lily Watterson. Inspire Award for Animal Science 2, Alicia Trimble. In Career and Leadership, Champion Babysitting Display Exhibit, Lily Watterson. Champion Babysitter Video Tutorial Exhibit, Emily Droz. Champion Build Your Own Future Exhibit, Alicia Trimble. Champion Entrepreneurship Exhibit, Phoebe Kraft. Champion Leadership Group Exhibit, Community Clovers. Champion Ready for Life Exploration Career Exhibit, Lexi Merriman. State Fair Delegates for Babysitting, Emily Droz, Lily Watterson. State Fair Delegate for Career Development, Alicia Trimble. State Fair Delegate for Consumer Education, Phoebe Kraft. State Fair Delegate for Leadership, Caden Dennis. State Fair Alternate for Leadership, Carson Dennis. State Fair Delegate for Ready for Life Career, Lexi Merriman. Civic Engagement, Champion Civic Engagement 3 Exhibit, Emily Droz. Champion Service Learning 1 Exhibit, Emily Droz. Champion Exploratory Welcome to 4-H Exhibit, Cecilia Kraft. Champion Do Your Own Thing Exhibit, Rylan Burden. Champion Passport to the World Exhibit, Lillian Hammer. State Fair Delegate for Civic Engagement, Emily Droz. State Fair Delegate for Service Learning, Emily Droz. State Fair Delegate for Passport to the World, Lillian Hammer. State Fair Alternate for Passport to the World, Tayana Mayen. Inspire Awards for Civic Engagement, Bailey Rogers and Emma Struve. Creative Arts, Champion Interior Design Decisions, Beginning Experience, Exhibit, Dexter Watterson. Champion Theater Arts Exhibit, Lillian Hamer. Champion Photography 1 Exhibit, Stephanie Neeson. Champion Commercial or Promotional Video Exhibit, Lucy Smith. Champion Animated Video Exhibit, Colton Sparks. Champion Food Decorating Exhibit, Lillian Watterson. Champion Chalk Carbon Pigment on Canvas Exhibit, Tayana Mann. Champion Chalk Carbon Pigment on Paper B Exhibit, Tayana Mann. Champion Clay Exhibit, Iris Hamer. Champion Glass Experience, Trevor Hett. Champion Heritage Arts Exhibit, Lillian Hammer. Champion Metal Exhibit, Tayana Mann. Champion 3D Paper Exhibit, Lillian Hammer. That's all we have time for today. Goodbye.